All right, everybody out there in AE Wishbone Land. How you guys doing? This is Van and John, and we are live in Tomball, Texas, I believe, which is in a suburb of Houston, kind of on the way to...
We're the College Station side of Houston. How about that?
And we flew into Houston separately this evening, and hooked up and went straight out to Torchy's Tacos and had a religious experience with those fantastic tacos. We did a little short video driving up here that you can check out on YouTube where we kind of quickly reviewed them. But I'll just say I need that to open very soon in my area of the woods.
That would be dangerous.
Oh, man. So good. All right. So our goal here, we didn't really get to talk about Texas A&M on our show Monday night for Tuesday. So we're going to go ahead and do our Texas A&M portion of our show. And I'm just going to do this as a stripped down thing, not put a lot of production into it, so I can go ahead and get it up tonight first as quick as possible. We got a big weekend ahead of us, so we want to get some sleep and get ready to rock and roll. And I know I'm going to be waking up every 20 minutes and thinking, man, I got that extra taco left over from Torchy's in my refrigerator.
You're going to hear a noise about the night. Man, I'm in the refrigerator.
I am, but I'm gonna resist it, though. But, man, it was good. All right. So, first up, Auburn, Texas A&M, they played each other in the 1985 season Cotton Bowl, which didn't go well for us, even though Bo had a good game. But he did get stuffed on a over-the-top play. Ugh. But on the other hand, we've played them every year since they joined the SEC in 2012. And you got to say that in terms of playing them over here in Texas, it's gone pretty well.
Can't go much better.
No.
We win every game in Texas. So, and we won, you know, a little bit at our place. So I think overall, it's been a pretty good series for us. I think we've played very well in Texas, which is kind of surprising. But it's a streak that's continued, even when Auburn wasn't sending great teams over here.
Yeah, that's the one that really gets me, is that even in 2015, now if you were going to go back and pick the one odd-numbered year that we wouldn't have done well, the 2015 team, the Jeremy Johnson team, the worst team of Gus's whole eight-year stretch, came over here to College Station to play a top 10 ranked Texas A&M at that time under Kevin Sumlin, and beat him pretty handily.
Oh, yeah.
I still can't figure out what happened that day. That was just weird. And that was the difference for that team between a winning season. Do you realize if we had lost that game, we wouldn't have even gone to a bowl?
Wow.
We'd have been 5-7, I think.
Missed the Birmingham Bowl.
Well, yeah, but I mean, winning that Birmingham Bowl, A, that was one of only two bowl games that Gus won.
Yeah.
And two, did I say A and two? Whatever. And in the second place, it gave us a winning season, so he never had a losing season because it made us 7-6 instead of 6-6. So that was a big game, that Texas A&M game, and I still don't know how we won it. But anyway, so it's been a good road series for us. It's been kind of the opposite of the LSU series.
Yeah, it's like LSU, we find ways to fall apart in Baton Rouge, but we come over here in Texas, and Auburn teams have played well and kind of found themselves and delivered strong performances on sometimes on both sides of the ball.
And, man, I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that 2013 game. Because, you know, the year before in Chizik's last year, they had beaten us in Auburn, like, what, 63-21 or something?
I don't know if we scored 21 in that game.
Oh, man, that was like the low point of that year, and that was a low year. And to come right back the very next year with mostly the same players up, aside from Nick Marshall, and win just a shootout with Johnny Manziel, that was a game.
It was a great game.
I just rewatched the highlights of the day, and I was just like, oh, man, because we got big sacks on him. Mm-hmm. The other D Ford, the football D Ford, I just imagine a lovely British lady chasing Johnny Manziel around and sacking him. But no, the other D Ford chased Manziel all over that stadium and put him down, and it was a beautiful thing. So that was the history, and it's been a good history. What happened last year? Last year's game, see, I remember the one a couple of years ago where they were winning in Auburn, and then that was, I guess, 2 years ago. 18 maybe? I guess it was 18. And we had like the... Yeah, it was 18.
Two quick passes to Seth Williams at the end.
And boom, we win like 28-24. So how did it go last year?
So last year, Auburn was winning 20-14. I think Auburn went ahead, Texas A&M came back, and then Auburn was ahead 20-14 at the end of the third quarter, and we felt pretty good. And then A&M completely controlled the fourth quarter, ran the ball over us, controlled the game with our offensive line, scored 17 unanswered points, one going away. So that was a big, you know, moment in last year's season, but also kind of a, you know, their offensive line really pushed us around. Their running backs really kind of owned us in the fourth quarter.
Kind of sorry I asked now.
No, but it's,
I'd forgotten that, though, really.
No, but, I mean, that's a downer, but it's also a little bit of a different team, right? A lot of those offensive line guys are gone.
Yeah, yeah. So what do we know about this year's team? I mean, you know, coming into the season, my understanding was that they were going to be a good offensive line, a good running team, a strong defensive team. I mean, they were expecting to be in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that their quarterback got hurt, and they've been going with this Calzone guy or whatever his name is.
Calzada.
Every time I get hungry, every time I hear his name. But what were they supposed to be, and what happened to prevent that from happening? Because they lost to, like, well, that's a whole other story. They lost to Mississippi State, and we can talk about that because I'm worried about Mississippi State my own self. But
they also lost Arkansas, and they almost lost to Colorado, who's bad.
Oh, I saw that game, and that was terrible.
So, again, you're right. The other guy, Haynes King, was supposed to – he was the guy that won the quarterback competition in fall camp. And then he got hurt, like, on the first play at Colorado or whatever. And so then they had to play Calzada, and then he had to start these other games. And he's a young quarterback. He's not a runner at all. He's very immobile. So, you know, he can move around the pocket a little bit, but not in a Joe Burrow kind of way. I mean, he's really pretty stationary and not a scramble or anything. So he, you know, is not a great passer, and he's a young quarterback playing in the SEC and kind of thrown to the wolves. And so he has been very up and down. So they want to be a team that doesn't put any pressure on him. And we know this from Jimbo's teams the last couple of years. They're kind of the polar opposite of the offense we saw last week. They want to take the maximum amount of time off the play clock and then run the ball in a perfectly executed play and get 5 yards where they don't have to throw it. And that's their goal every single play. So the perfect Texas A&M game plan would have like 40 runs and 18 passes and only run 58 offensive plays. That would be like gold for them. Keep us off the field. They want to control time of possession, run the ball, play good run defense, and win the game that way. Like Auburn, they're good on special teams, but in a kind of a different way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their special team thing is they have a really good returner, a punt and kick returner guy.
I was hearing a little bit of talk about that this week.
I've seen him make some plays. You know, we have to be careful kicking him the ball. So that's their thing. They want to be a... they're strong on both lines of scrimmage, but not as nearly as strong on the offensive line as they were last year. But they're still good.
Okay.
But they don't have experience at quarterback, so they don't put Calzada in a position to put a lot of pressure on him. So what happened when they played Alabama, he played out of his mind and was awesome. But every other game, he's been thoroughly mediocre. Okay.
Well, that's what I've been wondering. How does the same guy not able to score on Colorado and can ring Alabama up for 50 points or whatever?
So not just that, like after you think the Alabama game was some turning point. Right. After Alabama, they played Missouri, South Carolina. In those two games, he was 51% completion rate, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and he averaged 165 yards a game passing. So the Alabama game stands out as a gigantic outlier, very fluky. And I think Alabama, you know, maybe overdid it in daring him to do stuff, and A&M had a good game plan and all that. But also, I think he just played out of his mind that day and way over his level of ability for regular games. So I think that's a big thing. And the other thing is Alabama went in there and turned it over twice.
Oh, yeah.
So I think they gave A&M, you know, shorter fields at easier times, and that contributed to the problem. So I think that's a big thing for Auburn. Don't make it easy for this kid. You know, stop the run. Mm-hmm. Make him beat us. Put pressure on him. They have a great tight end. They have one decent receiver. But you know, if we can hold, keep them from running all over the field on us, I think we'll be okay. I mean, and I don't think they're going to score a ton of points. I mean, I think we can hold them, you know, in the low 20s at most.
So when A&M looks at us, what do they think? What are they thinking?
I think they think, number one, that we're kind of a little bit of a similar team. The difference is I think we have a more experienced quarterback.
For sure.
So I think what they're thinking and hoping is maybe we can get bad Bo Nix on the road, you know, to come over here and turn it over a couple times.
We haven't seen him in a while.
I know we haven't. He played very well at Arkansas. So if we come out and do that again, we're going to be in great shape. That's what they're hoping. I think they're hoping stop the run, you know, get some guys that run around the backfield to make Bo Nix kind of run for his life and turn the ball over. And at the same time, kind of impose their will on us, line up and run the ball right at us. And kind of control the line of scrimmage that way, put our defense back on their heels, and then break out the play action occasionally, give him an easy pass.
So are we thinking they're going to, like, come after, like, stack the box and try to do the make Bo beat you thing like everybody thinks they can do?
100%. The difference is they have much bigger, stronger, more talented guys in the front seven, so they don't have to stack it so much because they got some guys who are going to play in the NFL on their defensive line. They got a guy named DeMarvin Leal, who's an absolute first-round pick defensive lineman. So they got some guys like that that can, you know, cause problems on their own. They don't have to put extra guys in there. So I think that's a big thing. So I got two stats for you that I think are important in this game. One is in SEC play, they are 13th out of 14th in on third down and converting third downs.
Wow.
So their offense is not very efficient or explosive.
That's shocking to me.
They're a low scoring team. They punt a lot. You know what I'm saying? So they want to get, you know, easy third downs. If they're in, you know, bad third down situations, if they're in third and long, it's going to be a huge advantage for Auburn in this game. And the other thing is in the red zone, they've scored every time they've been in the red zone, but they lead the SEC in the percentage of those that was field goals.
Oh.
Even more than, you know, like Vanderbilt to South Carolina. 44% of the time when they get in the red zone, they're kicking a field goal. So I think that's a big thing for Auburn, that we get them in the red zone. We get them in the red zone holding to some field goals, you know, and you turn around and they got, you know, and we're winning and the second half is like 17-9 or something.
Wow, that is really interesting, though, that they can't get it in the end zone. Is that because their shortcomings in the passing game, or is that the main thing?
I think that's it. I think when it gets down there, you know, they're trying to run it in, and it's tough. I mean, SEC defenses are good. And
sure,
they're not going to, you know, if they're not scared of the quarterback, it's tough to, you know, to be able to just line up and overpower people and run it in the end zone. So I think that's a problem for them. I think we got to watch out for that tight end in the end zone. But otherwise, I think, you know, I think it's something we could take advantage of. Yeah, you know, we've been playing some explosive kind of offensive teams. Like Ole Miss is obviously the other end of the spectrum on this. But I think this is a team that we can, you know, if they move between the 20s a little bit and then kick a field goal, I'll feel really good about that. And unlike last week, you know, on offense, we're on offense. If we have to kick a field goal, it's not the end of civilization. Against this team.
Right. Now, I got to tell you, I was feeling pretty good about it before, but you're making me feel even better about it, so I appreciate that. I mean,
that's what I'm here for.
I'm liking what I'm hearing. So let's break down then, what do we need to do specifically to win this game?
I think, you know, Alabama turned it over twice.
So don't give them any help.
That's it. Don't commit stupid penalties. Give them first down stuff. When they're bad at converting on third down, don't give them a layup, an easy one, right?
No, you don't throw a life vest to your enemy when he's drowning.
That's right.
James Carville famously said, when the enemy is drowning, you throw the son of an anvil, right?
That's it.
So we want to make sure that they're not getting any help.
And then Calzada, again, has been not good. He's thrown an interception every game he played.
Calzone.
So stop. Focus on the run. Make him beat us. And then be ready to kind of take advantage of it when he does get some pressure on him. force him into some bad throws and stuff. If, you know, if we could get one or two turnovers out of him in this game, I think that'll be – if we don't turn over, that's a huge advantage for us.
Was I seeing something that this will be the first time that Papo and McLean are on the field at the same time or something? They didn't play together last week?
They played together last week, but I think one of the things that the Auburn people have been talking about this week is because the style of offense A&M runs more of an old-school power running team and much less of a – you know, spread five wide kind of team, we may go to more of a regular, play the full regular 3-4 kind of thing and have and less nickel than we have in these other games.
Because, so more linebackers.
Yeah, more linebackers on the field, I think, is what we're going to see.
There we go.
What I'm saying. So I think, and it could even be a thing where in some situations where, we have all three of the inside linebackers out there. So
I gotta tell you, I feel pretty good with them on the field.
Yeah,
no, those dudes, man,
they make plays.
Whew.
This is a Zacoby McLean game.
Oh Lord, so and he's ready.
He's ready. They're gonna try and run the ball, and he's gonna be standing there waiting.
Good luck.
The other thing is, I think they've had a little bit of vulnerability to good passing games. Some teams have thrown the ball on them well. And I think we've been executing that better and better in the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
We have a good game plan, and Bo Nix and the receivers come in and execute like we did at Arkansas. I think that will be kind of the X factor that puts us over the top.
I'll let you in a little secret. I have heard that he's relaxed and having fun. I'm told this in our freaking... Oh, hey, by the way, this is cool. John and I don't usually get to do these in the same room. So this is actually one of the rare, if first time, maybe, moments that we've done this show.
I was going to say, it is very weird. We're normally looking at each other on the camera, on the computer, and now we're sitting at the desk together near the microphone talking. It's kind of funny.
I was thinking I was going to get stopped by Homeland Security for bringing this giant microphone through my bag. I think it was a bomb. But what I will say, we have the Louisiana Raging Cajuns Georgia State game, and Georgia State, they just... kicked a field goal to take the lead on... Oh, no, actually, that was an extra point. They just scored a touchdown and kicked the extra point to take the lead. This is the team that gave us fits, right? Or is it?
That's it. That's
it. They're the one. So I want them to win. I don't want the team that almost beat us to lose to the Cajuns.
It's very funny because they're in Louisiana, their stadium. Louisiana's 7-1 and a big favorite. And Georgia State's over there causing them problems. A story we have seen before.
A story, yeah. The spoiler makers of the South, man. Georgia State. It's kind of cool to have football on and be hanging out with John. We've been eating tacos. We got football on. We're talking AU Wishbone stuff, talking Auburn, Texas A&M. I mean, what more can we ask for in life? This is pretty good.
Life is good. Can't wait to go to College Station tomorrow.
Oh,
we're going to eat some barbecue, drive around, have a good time.
So we are planning over the next 48, 72 hours, whatever. Math is hard. Over the next couple of days... let's see. So tomorrow's Friday. We're gonna drive over to College Station. We're gonna look around. We're gonna have some barbecue there. We're gonna check things out, and then we're gonna go see the movie, the Eternals movie, tomorrow night. We'll do another one of these. We'll have another sit down tomorrow night around this time to talk about that movie for the other podcast. And then there's the game day, man. It's just amazing. So this is awesome.
We could get up Sunday morning and record. The Wishbone with no delay, delay, and just the raw emotion of
the Sunday after. Morning or Saturday night or whatever we want to do. Yeah, that's absolutely. Because this is a 2:30 game, so we'll be.
That's right.
We'll see what we want to do when the game is over. But yeah, this is awesome. So I just want to quickly. This is just a little sawed off mini podcast. It's like the missing piece from the Monday show, right? So I'm not putting any bells and whistles on it. I'm not going to do the whole patrons name list because we already did it on Monday. Basically, we just saved this segment of the show for tonight because we knew we would be here together. So this is just like part 1B of the Monday night show. But I do want to thank the patrons as a group because it's you guys that are making this possible and allowing us to do this, and we couldn't thank you enough. It's really, really awesome, and we're going to just keep trying to pay you back. This is just, we did post a little short video from the car. We're going to have an extended one tomorrow that should be a lot of fun. Us just talking while we're driving to College Station, that'll be awesome. And otherwise, I guess, any other thoughts before we wrap up this little 1B segment?
No, It is weird and exciting to be doing the podcast together in the same place. And
it is.
I'm very excited about going to College Station tomorrow and checking it out.
It's
going to
be cool. Yeah, I got this little laptop here so we have Wishbone Central right here in the hotel room. It's kind of neat. So, all right, we'll sign off for now. But, again, keep checking back because we'll have stuff posting either here or on the White Rocket podcast, the White Rocket Entertainment Network, all the time. And so we will see you guys, I guess, for right now. Again, our time is up. We thank you for yours. Wario John.
Wario, man.